Topic for today is singing. The Bible tells us 146 times to sing. And we are told to sing to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:9. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. We're to sing to God, telling him how great he is and how thankful we are for what he's done. Psalm 13:6, I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Psalm 47, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Psalm 66, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. You think David wants us to get the fact that we're supposed to sing? Psalm 104, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. The old folks aren't off the hook. We sing as long as we live. So we're commanded to sing to God, and we're also told to sing to each other. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5 say nearly the same thing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And Ephesians 5 says, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the second song we sang was Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. That's us individually and together singing to Jesus. The next song we sang was called This Blood, what we sang during communion, and that is us singing to each other. I'm here to tell you he's alive. I'm here to tell you he dries every tear. I'm here to tell you he's coming back for you. We're singing to each other our faith and the gospel, and that's what the Bible says to do. Hebrews 2:12 says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. In church, each individual one of us is to sing. I didn't count how many times in Psalms David says, in the crowd, I will sing to you. I will praise you in front of everybody. Everybody here needs to sing to God in front of everybody else. When we're together, it's not a private deal. It's all of us together. And Psalm 149 says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, sing his praise in the assembly of the saints. That's this. This is God's people assembled together, and we're supposed to sing to the Lord. The Bible mentions the earth singing. It mentions the mountains and the hills and the trees singing. It says that the sun sings and the stars sing. And it's very poetic language, and a lot of people call it metaphor, but modern science always proves the Bible right. It wasn't, 10 years ago, scientists found out that there are sound waves coming from the sun. And they are so low of a bass that we can't hear it. The wave length is so long that it's inaudible. But there are sound waves coming from the sun. And the Bible said 3,000 years ago, the sun is singing. So the Bible says we're to sing in the morning when the sun is rising. And we're to sing on our beds at night. I heard one preacher say, take a clue from the birds. They sing when the sun is rising and they sing when it's setting. They're just doing what God created them to do. That's the time to sing. Not that we don't sing the rest of the day also, but nature shows us there's something really powerful about sunrise and sunset. That's when the sacrifices in the Old Covenant were to happen. That's the time to worship, is sunrise and sunset. A couple of the verses talk about us making melody in our hearts, which would to me mean not out loud. But then many verses about us singing out loud. The Bible mentions instruments. It mentions every class of instrument that there is. Stringed instruments, drums, cymbals, all the horns and brass instruments and the flutes and the woodwinds. So stringed instruments, that's the stuff we strum and pluck like a guitar or a harp, but also violin and cello would be included in that. And thank God it mentions drums and loud cymbals. In the very little-known Mitch Kosten translation, Psalm 50 mentions electric guitar with lots of crunchy distortion and heavy reverb. All of the instruments that have ever been created are mentioned somewhere in some category in Psalms. There's a worship leader named Leonard Jones who made it his personal goal to learn every instrument that had ever been invented enough that he could play a song in worship to the Lord on every instrument. I don't know if he got it done, but the Bible mentions men singing, women singing, dancing while we sing. It mentions soldiers singing, priests singing, watchmen on the wall in the night, singing from the top of the city wall while they guard the city gates. It mentions singing while we mourn, when we're sad. Most of the singing in the Bible is joyful, but some of it's sad. If you look at all of the verses about singing and songs in Scripture, you see this phrase, sing a new song, is in Psalm 33, 40, 96, 98, 144, 190, Isaiah 42, and Revelation 5 and 14. That phrase is where our church name comes from. We're to sing a new song to the Lord. He's put a new song in my mouth. We live in an incredible time, at least in English is all I know, but we live in a time when there are the most worship songs there have ever been. I seriously don't think 10,000s would be an exaggeration of the number of songs that have been written just in the last, let's say, 30 years. Before that, the church sang the same hymns for 200 years. And when Sarah and I were young, the conservative churches were all in a controversy about whether we were going to start doing Maranatha praise choruses or whether we were going to hang on to Old Rugged Cross. The churches, they gave in the late 70s and early 80s to Maranatha praise choruses, but we're not doing what was called then CCM. And then, you know, Christian radio changed and music, the Christian music just exploded. And particularly in the last 20 years, worship music has just, it's mind-blowing how much is out there. We are the Benjamin generation. That we have 7 times more bread than our brothers. It's unbelievable, actually, how fast and how much new songs are being written to the Lord. And so, we do a lot of new songs around here. Probably not every week, but often. Ted's really good about working up new stuff. And, you know, Sarah and I have mentioned that it's sad to us that our kids don't know the songs we grew up with. And I know that older folks wish the younger folks knew the old hymns because they're beautiful and they're powerful. But God had something he was doing with those songs in that generation. And he has every generation, he's got a new song. So it's biblical. It's epic proportions. It's biblically epic. The number of worship songs and outlets and recordings and labels, but that none of that is what David meant when he says, that David and Isaiah and John, when they say, sing a new song. It literally just means sing a song that doesn't exist. Like you sing your song to the Lord. So now that Easter's done, I'm back to talking to you about your own private quiet time with God in the secret place of your own heart, where you shut the door on your prayer closet, you shut the world out. And we've talked about Bible reading, and we're going to talk a long time about prayer. We're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks here on music, singing, how we worship the Lord, how God relates to us in a song, and how we relate to him in a song. So I sing constantly, all day. I have music playing, or I'm singing, or both. I'm singing along. These verses is God wants me to sing my own heart, my own words to him, and he wants to hear you sing what's in you to him. I'm certainly not saying it's wrong to sing your favorite songs, whatever you have memorized or whatever you've got playing on the radio or your Apple Music or Pandora or whatever you use, but the Bible encourages us to sing our own new song to the Lord. So maybe you're alone in private. You're not having to do anything professional or for a recording or even anybody else listening. Pastor Josh is happy he can make a joyful noise. But you just sing. Just sing to the Lord. Sing scripture you're reading and see what that does between you and God. Sing your own feelings. Sing your own appreciation for him. And of course, it could be somebody else's song, but sing a new song. I just encourage you to try that. Sometimes it maybe not even words. You just sing sound. Or maybe you whistle or hum. Our church in Arkansas, Sarah and I attended before we went here, we had an older man who whistled, and he had the most velvet tone. He had a vibrato in his whistle. And he whistled instead of sang. And it was pretty unique, but it was pretty awesome. Just give God some music from you to him that isn't somebody else's song. 99% of what I sing is somebody else's song. But the Lord encourages us to do our own. Another phrase you will find as you read through about singing and songs in Scripture is, "The Lord is my strength and my song." Exodus 15, Psalm 28 and 118, and Isaiah 12. "The Lord is my strength and my song." I don't want to go great detail into this. I just want to point out that if God connects these two, then there is some access that we get from his strength when we sing to him. And I think probably you know that when you sing, you can't really stay in a bad mood. You're tired or angry or impatient or run down or whatever. And if you will truly sing some song to the Lord, his strength shows up in that. "The Lord is my strength and my song." Those two are packaged together somehow, that we get our strength from the Lord. Most of our singing is supposed to be joyful. James 5:13, "Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise." Psalm 9, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell you of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you, and I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Psalm 126, "Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Isaiah 51, "The ransomed of the Lord will return, and they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." We can sing our mourning, and the Psalms prove that. David lets God have all of his distress and despair, and he sings all that out to God and ends up being praising the Lord at the end of each of his psalms. But we're supposed to, particularly when we're happy, joyful, we're supposed to sing that out to the Lord. And then in Psalm 27, we turn a little corner here. "Now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies around. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." So here, singing is called a sacrifice of joy. So maybe that means I feel so excited, I'm so happy and energetic, I'm just bubbling over, I can't contain myself, I just have to sing and dance around my kitchen this morning. And I sacrifice that to you, God, I just give it all to you, I praise you, I'm so thankful for the great things you're doing in my life, I'm so excited, I'm so full of faith, I just pour out all my joy on you as a sacrifice. Absolutely, yes. Or maybe it means the exact opposite. I don't feel happy at all. I am upset. I am impatient. I am frustrated. I am angry. I am lonely. I am wounded. God, I'm going to sing you a joyful song as a sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to put to death these bad feelings by singing on purpose, singing a joyful song to you in the midst of not feeling like it, so therefore it is a sacrifice. Maybe that's what that means. Whichever way it is, and I suppose both are true, various days in our lives, I offer sacrifices of joy by singing. Either we feel joy and we give all that up to God, or we don't feel it and we give it all up to God. Either way, it ends up being a sacrifice of joy as I sing. But I think it's the second one, because there are other verses that God tells us to sing in the suffering. And here's one of them, Isaiah 35. "The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing." Years ago, I went through numerous passages with you in Isaiah, where Isaiah uses this imagery of rain falling on the desert, dead, waste places of the Middle East, and they spring up as a flower and fruit garden. And that is a God prophesying to our hearts. The dead, empty, lifeless places, I'm going to rain my word and my spirit on you, and you're going to blossom with roses. The place that in your life that you think there will never be anything there, there will never be anything alive there again. It's too dead. It's too wiped out. It's just a desert in that corner of my heart. God says, I will rain on it, and it will be green and lush garden. And what does he say? Even with joy and singing in the wilderness and wasteland will spring forth with blossoms and life as we sing with joy. Next is Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy. Either God is intensely cruel or he's on to something. Because here he uses the example of a woman that can't have children, which is an agonizing situation for some women. And God says, I want you to sing. I want you to sing for joy while you are in anguish. What's he on to? Well, he says in the rest of this verse, because I'm going to give you more children than the married woman, somehow our singing while we are miserable or while we're not getting what we're asking God for, when we will sing to him in real joy, it turns the situation around. And another one from Hosea 2. This is God speaking to Israel as his wife. So he's talking about the nation of Israel, but it would apply to any of us individually. I will win her back again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will sing there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt. God says, in the desert, in the valley of trouble, I will give you a song, and you will sing while in the valley of trouble, while in the desert, I'll give you a song and you will sing. Not after I get through the valley of trouble, but while I'm there. So there is something to God's word about us singing for real joy and thankfulness, even while really rough stuff's going on. So in all of those scriptures, what I'm talking to you this morning about is your own individual communion with God through music. That he speaks to us and we speak to him in music. The Bible has a lot of verses about playing instruments. So if you play an instrument, sit down at your piano, grab your guitar or your recorder or whatever it is you'd play and just make music to the Lord in your own private quiet time. I'm talking about in addition to your Bible reading and your prayer. A lot of you are super musical, but maybe some of you aren't. And so I'm just encouraging you to bring music into your relationship with God and let him speak to you through music. I read to you a whole bunch of singing verses. Sing out loud to God when you're by yourself, in the shower, when you're driving. The Bible says in bed at night, sing. Most of my interaction with the Lord is through somebody else's song, some recorded music on YouTube or on my, if you're really old, you have CDs and tapes. All right, I still have all that. I still have two vehicles that play CDs and cassettes. That's how old our vehicles are. So I put music on and I drive, or, you know, or it's, I bring my Bluetooth speaker into the shower or something, you know, and we have music on at our house a lot and what we're doing. So it's somebody else's music. Once in a while, I'm just singing as I'm going about what I'm doing, but most of the time, I'm listening to music. So Sarah and I have both observed this, experienced this thing with the Lord where a particular song will be really anointed for a period of time. And it's like God's just all over this. Either him speaking to me or giving me words to sing to him. And back in January, I got a new song. It wasn't new. It was from the 80s, but it was new to me. I probably listened to that song 40 times in 5 days. It was just so exactly speaking to my heart. Sarah had an experience at kind of the same time, a Jesus image worship set. Yeah, you said a couple days ago she'd listened to it 40 times. And then all of a sudden, it's like the Spirit moved on and it goes away. First service, I had a lot of people nodding, like, yes, this happens to me. I want to encourage you, if this happens to you, you're not failing. You're not losing track of God. It's just the Spirit moves on. And in a day or two, you'll find another song where God begins to speak to you. And just, I encourage you, wear that song out. I really do. If you feel God on something, listen, pay attention to that. That's the Holy Spirit leading you into communion with Him in that particular song on this day or this week. Michael Koulianos, pastor in Orlando, talked about back in the day when he had a mixtape and he had the really nice expensive cassette player that had the auto rewind and fast forward, you know, would jump one song only. Those were the really cool ones. We didn't have to just keep hitting stop and play to find the beginning of the song. Anyway, he said he had a mix and there would be a song on there. And he said, in my prayer time, I would get along with God, and all of a sudden, this is the song for today or this week or whatever. He said, I would wear that tape out, just playing that song over and over and over again, weeping before the Lord or celebrating or whatever it is that the Lord is doing. And then it goes away. And this happens to a lot of people, and it's not like you've lost the Holy Spirit or worn the song out. It's just God has put that song in you, and now that is a part of your relationship with Him and His words to you. And now it's just a sweet, sweet memory. And maybe you come back to it later, or maybe you don't. I mean, it's just you move on and the Lord makes another song alive, very much alive, in the next week or something. And find God in those songs. If you find yourself humming a tune or remembering a line from a song you haven't thought of for a long time, pay attention, that's God. Yeah. A month or so ago, it happened to me that totally out of the blue, I had this line come into my head. I could not remember the song. I didn't remember who sang it, but I just heard, His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. I knew that song from a long time ago. I looked it up online, and it's Stephen Curtis Chapman, and if you know that name, you're really old. But it was so old, I didn't even remember who did it. I was like, wow, yeah, I remember that song from high school or college or whenever that was. And all of a sudden, that song was like where it had juice all over it for like a day and a half. And I haven't listened to it since. Like, I don't know what God just brought that back to me. And I had a beautiful time with God in that song. And since then, we've moved on to the next one. I just encourage you that you sing your own song to the Lord, and you can listen to others and just let the Lord speak to you, or you speak to the Lord in these ways. Sing your new song. Don't got to worry about a performance. You just play. If you are a musician, worship team, worship leader, recording artist, whatever, I highly recommend to you the book by Don Potter, Facing the Wall. He was a recording artist and worship leader, and in those roles, he became focused on the music and leading the people, and God put him in a season where He said, you're going to sit in a chair facing the wall right here, and you're going to play your guitar to the wall until you learn how to be fulfilled only singing to Me with no audience, no applause, no attention, no accolades. You just were created to worship Me, and that's all. And he wrote a book about it. And he didn't know if this was ever going to end. Like, he wanted to be he was Nashville-level artist, And God just shut it all down. It's like, you're doing this for people's attention. You're just going to play your guitar to the wall. And he did for some period of time, I think a year or two. The Lord didn't let him perform in public at all. Like, you just do this for me, and you learn how to flow with my spirit, and you learn how to find your satisfaction in satisfying me. There's another brief mention of singing that I haven't covered yet. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:15. Paul says, I will pray with the spirit, I will also pray with the understanding, and I will sing with the spirit, I will also sing with the understanding. I can't give you a doctoral dissertation on speaking in tongues, prayer language, singing in the spirit, and all that stuff today. I just want to point out that there is a deeper communion as we sing to the Lord. There's a deeper communion than singing in English. Paul says, I can sing with my understanding, which is our, for us, that's our English language thoughts. And then there is singing in the spirit. I don't know. Maybe that's singing in tongues for you. Maybe it's just singing without words. The Bible says groans that can't be put into words. I don't know. I just wanted to touch on it. I felt like the Lord had told me to highlight this verse. There is a way to sing to the Lord that's beyond our understanding, led by the Holy Spirit. So, I know that many of you know a lot of worship music, and you've got it on your phone and your radio or whatever, however you get it, all a lot. But I know that there are also people here who may be unaware of where to find this stuff and how much there is out there. And so I just made a list real quick. These are not artists. These are ministries and record labels, recording studios where you can find a lot of different artists. Jesus Image and Upper Room are actually churches that produce some fantastic worship that you can find. Mostly I watch them on YouTube, but I guess they're on Apple Music, and you can even buy albums and stuff. But Bethel Worship, Elevation, Hillsong are also churches that have record labels, and a lot of the songs we do are from those three outlets. People and Songs, Worship Together, Jesus Culture, Maverick City, are, again, these aren't artists, these are collections of artists on record labels and such. I know you know where to find your music, but just in case there's some folks that don't, there's, you know, YouTube, Apple Music, Pandora, Spotify, and so on. On your FM radio, if you actually ever turn that on anymore, there's K-Love and PLR in our area. Another Christian radio station is called Air One. You'll find those in Portland and Boise, but not here. There's actually a lot of Christian radio you can pick up in our valley. There's a Hermiston station that plays old four-part Southern gospel stuff and hymns, if that's your thing. There's a Tri-City station that plays that kind of stuff. And for those of you who like country music, I do this at the express instruction of the Lord. I did not want to do this, but he said, you will add this to your list. Today'sChristianCountry.com is a tiny little radio station in Rathdrum, Idaho, north of Coeur d'Alene. They broadcast as far as Georgia and in FM. And online, it's the whole world. They broadcast Christian country music. I don't mean Southern gospel, I mean country. And not Nashville artists, but these small Christian artists singing Jesus stuff, and it's country music. So if that's your thing, there you go. Don't laugh at me because I know it exists, all right? I throw that out there. The Lord wants to direct somebody there. If that's your kind of music, if that's how you want to relate to the Lord, you go right ahead. So, because I know that you all are seriously making individual, private, quiet time, prayer room time with God. And that, there's our focus this week. We're repenting of our own sin, praying for the church in America. And I know a lot of you already bring music into your time with the Lord. But if you don't, I just encourage you to add singing between you and the Lord. And let's just see where the Holy Spirit takes you, huh?